Amen. Great truth. Great job. Thank you. Go ahead and get in your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We are on Sunday nights, as most of you know, working our way through the book of Ephesians verse by verse. We just pick up where we left off last Sunday night. Last Sunday night, we talked about speaking the truth in love and to do effective ministry and effectively influence others. We must speak the truth in love because people do not need just truth, nor do they need just love. They need both because truth and love together are a powerful combination. We need the truth spoken in love to grow into Christ, into all things, and not just to grow into the things and areas that are easier in life and easier for us to apply and more appealing to us. We're to grow in all things, and we encouraged one another to think the best we could of the motives of those who are speaking the truth to us, and we encourage one another to muster up as much love as we can when we are speaking the truth to someone. And then we kind of close talking about our walk as believers. Living under grace, we are supposed to walk differently than the unsaved world around us walks, because Christ has changed the heart of every true Christian. And we made note of how frequently the New Testament speaks in some manner about the walk of a believer. Listen, grace is not an excuse to walk carelessly as a Christian. It is rather a great motive to walk carefully and faithfully for Christ. We just rejoiced that we have the privilege of walking differently and better for Christ's sake in a world that rejects our Savior. Tonight, we are going to see how Paul continues to address the walk of believers, the way they choose to live and behave, living under grace. Now, as the years have passed for me as a believer, I have come to believe that a lot of Christians set aside their faith and the church and go back on Christ because they have a faulty view of God in the Christian life. We don't need good doctrine to be saved. We need a personal salvation experience with Jesus Christ to be saved. We need to humbly call upon the Lord. That is how we get salvation. But we do need sound doctrine if we want to be stable in life. In fact, the more areas of life you and I know and apply sound doctrine, the more stable our life will become. And so having a wrong belief about God hurts us. When we think God is more of this grandfatherly image instead of the omnipotent creator sitting upon the throne of the universe, you know, we are going to take obedience to him too lightly. We're going to take the kind of requirements he wants in life from, we're going to take him too lightly. Listen, God is not a grandfather sitting in heaven. He is the Ancient of Days, but he is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, and he is to be respected. And when we have a wrong view of the Christian life, we're going to go back on it. Listen, if you think the Christian life, you think you're going to come to Christ, and what that's going to do is take away all your problems and take away all the hard times and all the dark valleys of life, you're going to end up disappointed. Listen, we are still fallen creatures. We still live in a broken world. And even though following Christ does make our life better, it does not make our life easy. And if we don't think rightly about those things, when life happens, we can go back on our faith. And it's tragic when somebody does it. Now, Paul, related to these issues, is he is going to use putting on and putting off clothing as an illustration of the Christian life, an illustration to teach us about how we should handle our old nature and our new nature so that we do not become overly discouraged when reality hits us all. Did you know that every true believer has an old nature with which you were born? In this text, the Bible is going to call that our old man. Did you know that every true believer also has a new nature that you received when you were saved? Paul is going to call that the new man. Now, if you're a Christian here, a true Christian, You know all about the battle that goes on inside of you. But you may not have known this, that every true Christian has this battle raging because of the old man and the new man that are a part of every Christian's life. If you're able to stand, if you would stand tonight, please, in honor of the Word of God. The title of my thought tonight is Put Off the Old Man. Put off the old man. Ephesians chapter 4, we begin in the Word of God in verse 22. Paul here, through the Spirit's inspiration, says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Thank you, might be seated. Now, I've personally never really cared for it when wives call their husband the old man, and I've really never cared for it when people call their dad the old man. But despite using that term in disrespectful ways, Paul here describes our old nature as the old man and gives us some advice in dealing with the old man who lives inside every human being. Notice, number one, we're to put off the old man, verse 22, and that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Here, Paul uses an illustration. He likens it to changing clothes, to put off our dirty shirt, to put off our stinky socks, to set aside, put it down or away, to separate yourself from it and ignore it. Listen, the advice here is given when it comes to our old nature. We are to set it aside, leave it there, stop trusting it, put it away, stop listening to it, set it aside. Notice that our former conversation, the behavior we had before, prior to coming to Christ, it's linked to this old man. In verse 20, you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Remember that conversation, when we read that word in our Bible, you know, our words over the course of time, it's synonymous with our word behavior most of the time. And Paul says, hey, listen, put off this former behavior, this behavior that's linked to your old nature, your old man. Now, Paul has a couple of times now described what these Ephesian believers, which were primarily Gentiles, what they were like before Christ. Do you remember them? We've talked about them a couple of times. Do you remember back from chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, how he described them before salvation? He says in 2:12 that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you see that description of their life before salvation? No hope, without God, far off, all changed, all brought nigh by the blood of Christ. We've talked about that. Same thing in chapter 4 in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you see the description of the old man, their former conversation, the way they were before Christ? Vanity of mind, darkened understanding, alienated from God's life, ignorance in them, spiritual blindness. Here, the Holy Spirit, in verse 22, he does not want their behavior to any longer be like their former conversation. Their thinking should not be like they previously thought before coming to Christ. And so instead of yielding to this fallen nature, this old man, believers are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's verse 23, he says, in verse 22, put off this old man. In verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I remember, it's 41 years ago now, I remember after getting saved just how much of my thinking was wrong thinking. I mean, I was just constantly being made aware by the Holy Spirit of how the world's philosophy and the culture's philosophy had permeated the way I thought about people and the way I thought about situations and the way I thought about the future. Here we are to renew our mind, the spirit of our mind. Put off the old man, renew the spirit of our mind. You've heard me say this a lot of times. The real battleground of the Christian life is in our mind. The way we think about things and situations and people, it directly impacts our behavior and our attitude. The kind of thoughts that we allow to fester and take root in our minds, they will either leave us depressed, anxious, fearful, wallowing in our lusts, or they will leave us emotionally healthy, because we do what the Scripture teaches when it says to purposely think on good things. I would to God that every believer here tonight will get their thought life yielded to God's Spirit. That they would battle to have every thought into captivity to Christ, like 2 Corinthians teaches. That they would think on things that are true and just and pure and loving and good, like we're taught to think, instead of allowing the kind of things, our old man, our old nature, to allow that thinking to just rest and fester in our mind. Every human being starts life with an old nature. A fallen nature, a nature inclined to selfishness and pride and lust and covetousness. Now, in our culture, the educational elites deny this. Sometimes parents fail to understand this about their children, but understand that whether it is the educational elites or parents or anything having to do with children or people, if we deny the nature of man, we will never make good decisions. Listen, I get it. Children are sweet, but they need to be taught to share. They don't need to be taught to lie. They need to be taught to listen and obey. They don't need to be taught to do what they want to do instead of what they're told to do. That's their nature. You can deny it all you want, but that's the way it is. The fallen nature of every human being, it does not mark it well, but it does match Scripture. It matches our personal experience. Now, that old man, that old nature, it does not go away when we get saved. It stays with us until we get a new body from Jesus Christ. And this old nature, notice how it is described in the end of verse 22, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. See, some of the desires of our old nature, they're deceitful. That's why following our heart will regularly lead us astray. You've heard me say this hundreds of times. Some of the worst advice people ever give and people ever take is follow your heart. I can't think of a dumber way to live your life. Listen, if you are following your heart tonight, you are headed towards some dark and painful time, because your heart, like every heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it cannot be trusted. That's true for your heart. That's true for my heart. That's true for every human heart. Now, Paul didn't just describe this putting off of the old man, this old nature, to the Ephesian believers. If you remember, when we started the epistle, we had talked about Ephesians being one of four prison epistles, letters that Paul wrote from prison in Rome. If you keep your hand there, go up to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is also a prison epistle. Some might even consider it a twin letter to Ephesians because of when it was written and the content, even though they went to two distinctly different assemblies of baptized believers. But notice in Colossians, Paul said something similar. Listen, God doesn't have to tell us things twice. But if he does bother to put something in there twice or even more, you can bet that there needs to be some kind of emphasis on it. In Colossians chapter 3, notice what Paul says in verse 8. He says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Notice here, again, put off the old man. It's like throwing away your stinky socks. Again, now, notice putting off here is linked to anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Now, Paul says here, put those things off. The old man is linked with those things in Colossians, and if you go back to our text, in Ephesians chapter 4, the old man, notice what it's linked to there in Ephesians chapter 4, because it is contrasted with our new man in verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Here the old man is linked with lying and dishonesty. I mean, I hope you understand tonight that regardless of how highly educated you are, regardless of how wise you are in life, regardless how much of the heavenly wisdom you have by virtue of being a seasoned Christian who's prayed for wisdom and sought wisdom from God and yielded to God's Spirit, understand, you still have an old nature. You still have an old man. And those who are wise put it off like a sweaty T-shirt that you wore to mow your backyard. Do that instead of yielding to your fallen nature. Now, for those of us who've been saved for a while and tried to live for Jesus, we need to be really careful because we don't want to think that we still have this nature. But we do. I have it. You have it. And the best thing you and I can do as a seasoned believer is starve it and put it off like a pair of stinky socks. Listen, there are some things a Christian should not do. Some things we're to put off. Things we've put off because of our faith in Christ. Things we have stopped because we believe in Jesus. Things that are no longer a part of our life, even though they are desires in our heart, because they are desires of the old man, desires from our old nature. Let me ask you, have you quit some things for Christ's sake? Things your old nature wanted, but you knew would dishonor Jesus if you yield to them. Do you recognize the desires of the old nature in your heart? Do you realize that they're linked with life without Christ? Or are you unwisely in denial, pretending you're too mature to have a lustful thought, too disciplined to be somebody who would ever do that, too strong to ever have that darkness still be in you? Are you in denial? I hope tonight you'll join me in purposing in your heart to fight and battle and put off the old man instead of pretending he doesn't exist. But if you and I are going to get victory in our Christian life, it will not just come from quitting some things, putting off some things. Notice, secondly, we are to put on the new man, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, "and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Again, Paul uses the same illustration with clothing, and here it is, instead of putting off, it is putting on, likened to changing our clothes, putting on a clean shirt, putting on freshly washed socks. And just like it takes effort to put off the old man, it will take effort to put on the new man, to yield to our new nature. A new nature Christ started in us when he came into our life. To recognize that as a believer, you have desires in your heart that this world does not have, desires that were put there by the Lord. Did you notice this new nature there in verse 24? It says, "put on this new man which after God." This new nature is after God. It is in God's image instead of the image of our fallen nature. Notice also this new nature in verse 24. It says, created in righteousness and true holiness. This new nature that was placed in us when we got saved has a desire for righteousness, like our Creator is righteous and our Creator lives in us in the person of God's Spirit, truly holy, just like our Creator is holy, and it is the Holy Spirit that lives in every believer. By the way, when we think about our old nature, thanks be unto God that He gave us a new nature when we got saved. Something to combat the old nature inside of us. You see, a battle started inside every believer the moment they got saved. A battle in their heart, a battle in their mind for control. A battle between the old man and the new man. A battle between the old nature and the new nature we have in Christ. And just like Paul discussed the old man in Colossians, he also discussed the new man. Keep your hand there. Go again to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, what he says in verse 10, he says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Notice what the new man is. It's renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. Verse 11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." He says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Now he's going to talk about what we're supposed to put on with this new nature. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Do you, again, notice the things that we are to put on, what he's linking with putting on this new nature, and they're all qualities of our Savior. In Ephesians, he talks about what we would call the stronger, maybe sometimes people view as negative qualities of God, God's righteousness and God's holiness. And here in Colossians, we're also putting on what we would call the gentler qualities of our God. You know, mercy and forgiveness and love and kindness, and all of that is part of the image of God that was placed in us when He saved us. This new nature that was formed in us when the Spirit of God came in our heart to live, it is made in the image of our God and our Creator and Savior. We ought to thank God tonight that this new nature doesn't go away when we fail, because the Holy Spirit will never leave or forsake anyone who is truly saved. Listen, you and I can quench the Spirit with our bad choices. You and I can grieve the Spirit doing things our way instead of being yielded to His way. We can resist the Spirit and His leadership in our life by yielding to the old man, but the Holy Spirit, thank God, never leaves us. Hear me tonight when I say the Spirit of God did not enter our life because we deserved His presence, so He does not leave when we do not deserve Him being there. He did not enter our life because we did a good work. He does not leave our life when we fail to do a good work or do bad works. The Spirit of God entered our life by grace when we humbled ourselves to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him, and He permanently came in our life from that moment forward. What a great gift. Amen. Let me ask you, are you actively yielding to your new nature? If you're not, you are yielding to your old man and going to bring some extra pain in your life. Are you purposely adding, putting on righteousness and mercy, kindness, humility in your life? Are you purposely adding, putting on holiness and meekness, long-suffering, and the forgiveness of others in your life? See, putting on these things, they make us more like Jesus. They make the Holy Spirit more comfortable living inside us because the body of every believer is His temple. But it is not just that if we are going to get victory in our spiritual life, we need to add some things to our life to put on some things. Lastly, tonight, go back to Galatians chapter 5. You say, wow, it's pretty early for you to say lastly. Oh, I got a lot of notes still. It's all right. This last point is something we don't very often think about. But I honestly think this is one of the most practical, helpful observations for us to understand what's going on inside every true believer. Here's number three. This battle between our old nature and new nature is intense, but we cannot stop actively fighting in this life. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here it is. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, capital S, and the Spirit against the flesh. Notice, then the Spirit lusts against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, lust of the flesh here is synonymous with our old nature, with our old man, with his deceitful lusts and lies, the desires of our old nature. The lust of the Spirit here is synonymous with our new nature, with our new man, and the desires of God's Spirit in this new nature to conform our life to the desires of our Savior, the Savior who set us free. It's interesting here that both the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit are strong enough to be called lust. Now, we're pretty familiar with lust of our flesh, the desire for all kinds of things like sex outside of marriage, food and sleep outside the boundaries of our health and productivity as a human being and a faithful follower of Jesus. We're a lot less familiar with the terminology of the Holy Spirit's desires being called lust. Did you catch that? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, in verse 19, we get the lusts of the flesh, and the Spirit against the flesh. So the Holy Spirit, capital S, is lusting against the flesh, strong desires of God's Spirit in our life, and our flesh is lusting against the Spirit, strong desires of our flesh. Notice these things are contrary one to another, that conflict that's going on inside you. And then that last phrase is really practical and helpful, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So what does that mean? That means whichever man you yield to, whichever nature you yield to, is going to irritate the other one. There is always going to be a part of you that is dissatisfied. Always going to be a part of you that is unfulfilled. And it depends. You are either going to yield to the Spirit and starve your flesh, and your flesh is going to be starved, and it's going to have its desires that are unfulfilled, and you're not going to be able to do what that part of you wants, and or you're going to yield to the desires, the lusts of your flesh, and the Spirit is always going to be grieved. You're never going to be able to do everything you feel like doing, and so we have this constantly going on inside of us. Yielding to the Spirit of God in the new nature makes us spiritually minded and multiplies the Spirit's fruit in our life. Yielding to our old nature makes us carnally minded and keeps God's peace and God's joy and the satisfaction of life God wants us to have away from us. And there are a lot of saved people who don't have much of God's peace in their life. They don't have a lot of Christ's joy, and this is why. Listen, God is not mocked. No one is really ever getting away with anything. See, we look at someone who says they're Christian and they're living some hellish life, and we think, wow, you know, man, look at all that I'm going through, and they seem just as happy as I am. I mean, here I am tithing, and here I am being in the church every time the doors squeak open, and I'm going through all this hardship, and they're not doing any of them things, and they seem fine. They seem fine. Hey, listen, you and I have no idea what's going on the inside of anybody but ourselves. And as I said, no one is ever getting away with anything, and though we do not see the consequences inside other people, understand that that battle is raging in every true Christian. You say, okay, Brother Wally, I understand what Paul is talking about, and I hear you. I feel this battle inside me. I get that there is always a part of me that is dissatisfied, always a part of me. What should I do about this battle as a Christian? Once I become aware of what's going on inside me and other believers, what should I do? I just want to give you a couple of practical suggestions tonight. Here's the first thing. Actively choose to set aside the unhealthy desires of your old nature. You know what we tend to do? We want to blame everything in our heart and mind that is ugly. We want to blame it on the devil. Listen, you're giving him too much credit. I'm not implying that he and those fallen spirits who are lower, loyal to him are not involved in all kinds of things in our culture. But by and large, your problems and mine are far more problems with our fallen nature, with our old man, than they are the devil. You see, when we blame everything on the devil, we not only give him too much credit, we become careless with the darkness of our own heart. Careless with how we handle temptation in our life. Oh, no, I won't yield to that. Listen, please, don't become overconfident. And don't lose sight of the fact that you still have an old nature. And it's ugly. Here's the second practical thing. Clearly choose to yield to the desires of our new nature. By the way, one of the great things about being committed to a biblical church and being in the Scriptures every day as a follower of Jesus is that you are exposing yourself regularly to challenging your thinking and your behavior. Hey, listen, when you and I come together and we are challenged as we sing together and as we pray together, as we fellowship together, as we do ministry together, as we listen to the preaching and teaching of the Scriptures together, listen, it challenges our thinking and our desires and who we're yielding to. Listen, it is not your fallen nature or mine that desires to do the right thing, righteousness. It is not our fallen nature trying to get us to remain morally pure, holiness. Listen, we need to yield to the Spirit of God and His lusts, our new nature. It's not our fallen nature trying to get us to forgive those who've wronged us. It's not our fallen nature trying to get us to be meek when we're tempted to lash out at someone. It's not our fallen nature trying to get us to be kind when someone is unkind to us. Listen, those are the new nature. That's the Spirit of God. That's the new man inside of us. And that those are the kind of desires that God's Spirit puts in His people. What should I do about this battle? Here's number three. We need to recognize what's going on inside of us as being evidence of our salvation and give us hope for our future new body. You know, this battle is very wearisome, but you know, if you don't have this battle raging inside you, then you haven't had the Holy Spirit produce a new nature inside you yet. I personally believe this is the most difficult aspect of the Christian life. It's very wearying because the old man, he goes with me everywhere. The old man goes with me when I get up in the morning. The old man goes with me on vacation. The old man goes with me when I turn on my computer. The old man, he just goes with me all the time. And the battle with him, it's very wearying. You know what it makes me long for? The day when I get a body like Christ's body. The day when God changes me so that that old nature is gone and all I have is the new nature. It gives me hope for tomorrow, that there's a day when this battle is going to be over with. When Paul described this battle in our bodies, he said this, "In this we groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Listen, that's some strong terminology to talk about this internal battle. "In this we groan." And when he described this battle in himself, Paul said in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I mean, what a set of terminology to describe. Listen, this is not Paul battling with pornography. This is not Paul battling with all the kinds of things that are way down the road. This is just Paul battling inside him with this desire to always love, and this desire to always be kind, and this desire to always do the right thing, and this desire to always be a witness for Christ. This is what the battle that's going on in Paul, not as a brand new believer, but as a seasoned missionary. I mean, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Hey, listen, this battle is fierce. It is long. It is intense. If you want to be a spiritually minded follower of Jesus, if Christ tarries, if you want to be sitting in a conservative biblical church 20 years from now with a life that is clean and pure and decent, it's filled with people you have influenced for righteousness and for good and for God and for things that matter in life, you're going to have to fight this battle and yield to your new nature. This battle is evidence of our new nature. Unsaved people don't have this battle. They have a little skirmish between the old man and their conscience. Saved people have this intense battle that's going on between your old nature and your new nature, and the battle is fierce between the lusts of your flesh and the lusts of the Spirit of God. Which gets us to the last thing. Just what should I do in this battle? Here's number four. We need to guard our eye and ear gates. What we let in them either starves our flesh or starves the Spirit. It either feeds our flesh or feeds the Spirit. The average believer in Jesus is very careless about their music, about what they watch on television, about the things. Listen, the only way into your heart and mind are your eye and ear gates. Listen, what goes in your mouth, it goes out in the draught. But what you and I put in our eye, in our ears and in our eyes, that goes inside us. And that is either grieving the Spirit and quenching Him, or it is grieving your flesh and quenching your flesh. Spiritually minded believers are careful about what they allow. Listen, I'm not going to stand here and list a bunch of singers and movies and shows that fuel your flesh and starve your new nature. You need to make those choices. And you need to understand that they matter. And the average person struggles so much in their spiritual life. They don't see much of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. They don't see much influence for Christ in their life. And a lot of it goes back to a really simple thing. They starve the Spirit in their new nature, and they constantly fuel their old nature. You say, what's the music I like? Which part of you likes it? The kind of music my old nature likes, the stuff that I listened to before I was saved, Aerosmith, Bob Seger, Linda Ronstadt, those people that are probably dead now. My flesh still likes that. It's been 40 years since I used to listen to that stuff when it comes on. So what part of, hey, listen, I have an old nature and I have an old man just like you do. And I'm in the same fight you are. I'm either starving the old man and he's not happy, or I'm starving the Spirit of God. And when he is being starved, he does not produce his fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You wonder why you have no peace? You wonder why you have no joy? You wonder why church is just boring to you? Brother Wall, I wish you'd hurry up. I'm in a hurry to go home and do nothing. The more carnal things we feed into our eyes and ears, the more we hurt this battle in ourselves than we realize. I'm here tonight not to tell you what to do and not do. I'm here to tell you what the Spirit of God said through Paul. Put off the old man with his deceitful lusts. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hey, listen, any believer who lives a carnal life, you'll regret it. Any believer who just sincerely tries to live a spiritually minded life, you'll be glad. Not just in 20 years, you'll be really glad in 100 years. Amen? If you'd quietly stand.